It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Our SCNR team has been busy in recent weeks with live broadcasts at APEX conferences in Orlando, back here in Atlanta at SMC3's Jumpstart 19. And we also fit in a few webinars with the fine folks over at Show Me 50 and Blue Ridge Global. So, of course, all of those replays can be found on iTunes and SoundCloud. This morning, I'm joined by my co-host, Will Haraway, founder and chief evangelist for Backbeat Marketing and a member of our APEX Atlanta Executive Advisory Board.
Hey, yes. Will. Hello. Meeting on Thursday.
Meeting on Thursday. Yes. That's right. From the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Looking forward to that. Thanks to Albert Sorto for hosting us.
And good morning. I should say good morning.
Yeah, I say good morning. Will is also a supply chain guru who can be found, especially on our hashtag Supply Chain City series, and glad to have you back with us this morning.
My pleasure, sir.
So, Will, we've been on quite a streak, and today we continue the trend of spending time with supply chain and industry newsmakers as we have a couple of very special guests in the studio with us. Good morning to Mr. Matt Markham, Director of the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics.
Good morning.
Glad to have you, Matt.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got a lot of things going on. Look forward to talking with you. And he's joined by Mr. David Knuckles, Global Account Manager for the Georgia Centers of Innovation.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good morning, David. Appreciate what y'all do for our state and our industry, and we've got some big news coming up. But we're going to dive in, and we're going to start with what we typically start on, which is top things to know in supply chain now. Now, when we were at Jumpstart 19, Will, I think we had seven interviews through the day. We didn't have time to talk up some of the things happening in the industry because we were actually meeting with folks as they were
exactly,
making things
as
happening.
As they were making history.
That's right.
On our show.
So I'm looking forward. I'm a creature of habits. So I'm looking forward to get back to what we typically do here. So you've got some news. What have you been tracking in the last few days?
Well, you know, it's funny that you talk about our at Jumpstart. I caught you. You didn't say it online, but you were talking about that you're a big Star Trek guy, right?
Not it.
You're a Star Trek guy.
I'm outing you. Coming out.
I'm outing you as a Trekker, as a Trekkie.
Okay.
Well, it just so happens I'm also a Trekkie and a huge nerd. when it comes to certain things. And one of the things that I'm a nerd about is 3D printing.
Okay.
Which I'm sure they did on a Star Trek episode, maybe Next Generation with Picard.
Yeah.
But, you know, I couldn't tell you which one, but I'm sure that there was something on there.
Things you don't expect are coming up on the podcast that come up on the podcast. Just, so thank you for outing me.
I got to keep you on your toes, man. but 3D printing, I continue to look at, and we've talked about it a few times on the show, what 3D printing, how it will affect the supply chain, because in theory, all of the things that are sitting on a warehouse, all of the widgets, all of the gas caps, all of the whatever are sitting on a warehouse somewhere, and in the future, those things, especially, they can be created out of polymers, they can be created out of lattice structures, and created and shipped on demand as mm-hmm. they go.
Yep.
So there's been some reporting on that very recently. And just, I believe, yesterday, Air Cargo News reported that they would predict that 41% of air cargo, 37% of ocean freight, and 25% of truck freight could be replaced with 3D printing.
Wow.
So rather than shipping raw materials or components like we just talked about, the supply chain may shift to moving 3D printing materials and parts for the final assembly or finished products for distribution, you know. So not always just a finished part, but that key part that goes into manufacturing that you have to make 1,000 times, now you might only have to make it 250 times.
And freeing up lanes on the infrastructure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And going back to, you know, our friends down the street at Brown, you know, they have their partnership with Fast Radius in Chicago, mm-hmm. where they have at their Worldport facilities in Louisville and in Singapore, that they do have that capability where they can create parts and ship them as soon as they're finished.
And most of our audience will connect Brown with UPS, but just for those that may not know, UPS headquarters right down the street from where we're broadcasting here at the Supply Chain Now Radio office studio. And also, big while we're talking UPS, big thanks to UPS for coming on as host sponsor of our 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Thanks to them so much.
Yeah. Tendrea Bellamy, who's also on our APIX Atlanta Executive Advisory Board, big thanks for this for their support for this first-year event. So what else? So 3D printing obviously yep. continues to evolve and become bigger and bigger and much more utilized. What else have you been tracking?
Well, you know, we love to talk about on the show digital freight matching, or if you want to call it by what a lot of people have called it since 2015, you know, Uber for trucking.
Okay. Or,
but of course, there's Uber for everything
right.
at this point. But now they prefer, those companies prefer digital freight matching. And probably the most well-known in that space is Convoy, which is investors Mark Benioff, and they probably have the most capital raised, and they're in California. But they say they have now reached a 100% automated match rate for matching trucking, matching carriers with loads, and that's without any human intervention. That's just through their platform, and that is significant. I mean, for the most part, a lot of these digital freight brokers have been criticized for really doing what brokers have been doing forever and just adding an online component to it, or really just being traditional brokers that just happen to have an app. But this is a significant moment for that industry, because they're proving that what they've all talked about the entire time is that an algorithm that can show that this truck has just dropped off a load and is now empty can go to another shipment, pick up that load, and head on and take, you know, and so that helps the carrier. They make more money. It helps the shipper, you know.
Takes waste out of the system.
Yeah. And helps everybody. It's been a great concept, but for this to be something that is real, finally, is an impressive thing for the industry.
Working a lot of the kinks out, for sure. Go back to your first item there. I want to give a shout out to aircargonews.net. Seems like a great publication, of course, here in Atlanta, home of the world's best airport and one of the busiest. I saw it as kind of going back and forth between Chicago's O'Hare and Atlanta this week, but still one the best airport in the world. Air Cargo is a big part of that, so aircargonews.net. All right, so that's a lot of red meat you put out on the table.
Yeah.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk e-commerce. According to the latest Georgia Logistics Market Snapshot, which if you're not getting, you've got your head in a hole. It's put out by the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics, a great monthly publication. According to the most recent one that came out January 31st, e-commerce sales for third quarter of 2018 up 3.1% higher than second quarter 2018, right? So not year over year, but quarter over quarter, I guess. If you want to shift gears and look at it from a year-over-year standpoint, it's up again 14.5% third quarter 2018 over third quarter 2017. And to put some context around what that means, for third quarter, estimated e-commerce, $131 billion, B as in Bezos. Now, if you listen to our show on a regular basis, or if you have a pulse, this shouldn't surprise you. You know, we spend a lot of time focusing on e-commerce because of its status as 800-pound gorilla in retail and the tremendous impact it has on the world of supply chain, right? It offers a tremendous opportunity, but it also adds to our workload for sure. And, of course, it changes consumer demands and expectations. But here's an additional thought that some members of our audience may not be making the connection. So according to a variety of supply chain think tanks, publications, the rapid growth of e-commerce continues to drive the growth and utilization of warehouses and distribution centers in 12 primary U.S. inland markets, port markets. Let me say that again. In the 12 primary U.S. inland port markets, and continues to drive new and emerging inland port markets. So making that connection between e-commerce and the growth and utilization of these very valuable inland port infrastructure. Products from foreign markets continue to pour into U.S. seaports at unprecedented levels. These inland ports help get that product out to the markets and the consumers much faster and efficiently. So we're really looking forward to spending some time talking with Matt Markham and David Knuckles today, talking about inland ports, because it's going to be a big theme of the 2019 Georgia Logistics Summit. So looking forward to talking more about that. Speaking of big users of the Georgia ports and, of course, a major economic driver in the region, Matt Markham, director of the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics, you've got some big Kia news.
Well, yes, and but first, thank you for the plug of the market snapshot. We appreciate that free marketing. That's something we're really proud of that we put out. A lot of people do find value in that. And so good information in there, good things that people can make some actionable decisions on, aggregating all those things. So we really appreciate that. We do hope people will sign up and get that from us if they haven't done it already. But, yeah, interesting news from Kia announced that they're launching a new SUV, the Telluride, out of their facility in West Point, and going to be taking advantage of the great infrastructure assets that our state has to offer, particularly the ports, both Savannah and Brunswick, and just continuing to be a great corporate partner, continue to be a great Georgia business. It's a good seal of approval, I think, for our state that they're willing to make that additional investment and show that they're fruitful here and that that we're able to help them be successful. So, yeah, importing parts through the Port of Savannah, exporting the new Telluride out of Brunswick. And so that's a new announcement for them, and we think that's just continued validation of what the state of Georgia is doing. So we're really excited for them, and I'm excited to see the state moving forward.
Very excited. And you know, the ports, it's not often thought about. If you're in supply chain, you probably think about it all the time. But, you know, the Georgia ports drives about, I think, 440,000 roughly jobs in Georgia. And it's a huge driver, not just for Georgia, but also the region. And you could make an argument for the country. So speaking of Kia, how cool was that Super Bowl commercial? That was top five list, I think, for most folks I've spoken to.
I missed it.
You missed it. Oh, man.
I was going for
it. I didn't miss it. I thought it was very impressive. That was one of my favorites.
I'm right there with you, too.
Yeah.
It's great.
It makes you proud. I mean, I don't know if y'all have done, I imagine many of y'all have toured the Kia plant down in West Point, but to see that story come out and the pride for making stuff and tying that to Georgia and tying that to a great little town, I'm from Little Town, South Carolina, but a great town in Georgia, West Point. That's got to make you, beam and be real proud about our industry and about our state. So really cool. Going back to the logistics market snapshot, which is it's not for the faint of heart. We're not talking about a tweet in 140 characters or less. It's real meaty stuff. It usually, you know, anywhere from 7 pages to 11 pages that tackles a variety of trends and data that you need to know if you're working in the end-to-end supply chain. If you want to sign up for that, it's free, right?
Absolutely, yes.
You can reach out to Emily Butler at ebutler@georgia.org, and we'll get you signed up, and you'll get that automated delivered to you each month. And again, it's I've been on the list for probably 10 years or so, and it's a great pulse of the industry to weigh in on a variety of decisions and other things that factor into what we do. What am I trying to say, Will? Factor into the decisions we make and what we do from day in and day out.
It's the engine that helps us drive what we do every day.
There we go.
Just like a Kia coming right off the assembly line.
That's right. And you can also sign up for the snapshot at the website too, at georgialogistics.com. You can sign up for the mailing list there as well.
GeorgiaLogistics.com. Perfect. All right. So we are excited to be talking about the Georgia supply chain and the 2019 Georgia Logistics Summit. But we want to pose a question to Matt first before we get into the summit. The Supply Chain Now Radio is pleased to serve as sponsors for this year's event, the summit. And as we all know, we tout this all the time. Back in November 2018, Site Selection magazine named Georgia the number one state to do business in for a record 6 years straight. So, Matt, for supply chain and logistics firms, in your opinion, why is Georgia such a fantastic state to do business in?
Well, I think, and I appreciate you bringing that up again. As state partners, we make sure we have to announce that at least every 30 minutes.
That's right.
So we will announce that one more time because it's something we're very proud of. It's something that is hard to achieve, and it's achieved because of a number of factors. And really, when it comes to supply chain and logistics, Georgia really has all the pieces. We have incredible business atmosphere and business climate. We have all of the infrastructure assets in place. We already talked about the ports. It's the fourth largest and fastest growing port, and we're going to talk a lot more about that, I know, a little bit later on. But, you know, to see Kia make the kind of commitment they make is a testament to what we have here. And, and we have, I'm not sure what they're saying about Chicago right now. I know there's some questions. I think we may want to do a recount on whether or not we're still the busiest airport in the world. But we do have, incredible partners at Delta and incredible partners at the Atlanta Airport. Not only for passenger travel, but it's also one of the largest air cargo airports in the world, and they're making significant investments there to grow. And we, it's rail, it's air, it's access to markets,
right.
Being able to reach 80% of the customers in a two-hour flight or a two-day truck ride. I mean, it's that access, and people have known that. People are continuing to learn about that. And then again, you throw on top a great business climate and leadership at the state level and corporate partners that really make it a place you want to be and you want to create and grow your business.
Absolutely. And just adding to that, as an entrepreneur, we were due to renew our business license here in the state of Georgia in January. And I think just illustrating some what you're talking about, so many offices at the state get it. They don't want to make it harder to do business here. They want to make it easy. It's like one-click register renewal for these business licenses. And I think that really illustrates a lot of what goes on to help make it an easier environment to facilitate business growth. And going back to the recount, we'll have to have Malcolm and the research team figure out exactly how that they were looking. I want to say it was passenger seats during a very set period of time, and it kind of goes back and forth. But as you mentioned, Matt, it's a lot of different factors. And beyond it all, we know that we're still the best airport in the history of mankind right here in Atlanta.
I mean, either way, you have over 100 million passengers at Hartsfield every year, and there's not too many airports that can claim that. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about the 11th annual Georgia Logistics Summit. We're all set for March 14th, 2019. Will and I both served as volunteer leaders for last year's summit. Great success, great experience.
I really
enjoyed it. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I thought it was a big success for Atlanta.
Absolutely. And it really, going back to what Matt was saying about the infrastructure, it really, even for those that are in supply chain, it really reminds you of all the different advantages for doing business in this state and how you can reach all the markets regionally and nationally from what we have here in Georgia. But Matt, it's our understanding that this year's summit looks a little different. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so as you point out, this is going to be our 11th year for the summit this year. So last year was our 10th anniversary. And what we were looking at doing is, in some ways, returning to our roots a little bit. The summit had started as something that was a little bit more focused, a little bit more concentrated. And also, so we wanted to try to get to our roots a little bit and also try to find a way to continue to highlight the things that are going on throughout the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. So our summit, has traditionally been in Atlanta every year. This year, we're actually moving it to Cartersville. So we're focusing on Northwest Georgia, and we're concentrating around the new Appalachian Regional Port. That the Georgia ports opened back in August, and then the overall inland port strategy, and looking at how that's going to impact the region and the state, and broader as well. It's got an impact beyond just that corner of the state. But we really did want to find an opportunity to sort of get out of just Atlanta, get a chance to hopefully bring in some new people who may not have come in the past or experienced it before, and then really do. Have a chance to draw attention to some great things that are going on in all over our state.
Absolutely. As y'all are making this change, any other factors that really came up as your team finally decided to make this shift and kind of, as you put it, get back to the roots a little bit?
Well, so I think that we again this idea that there are things going on all over Georgia and we want to make sure we can focus on those and highlight those. Sometimes when you do what we've done with our summit, when you've got several different tracks, several different topics, Those things are great in certain ways because it does give you an opportunity to sort of paint with a broad brush. Mm. But sometimes some key things that might get overlooked or might not get highlighted as much tends to get maybe lost in that overall picture. So this was an opportunity we wanted to pull away from that, really concentrate on something that's timely, topical, has an important impact on parts of our state, especially parts that are in rural areas and things mm-hmm. like that, but also but still have a statewide significance. So there's something of value for anybody in Georgia or beyond who wants to come to the summit, mm-hmm. Even though the topic will be a little more specific than it had been in the past.
Yep. And, I get a lot of windshield time regionally, but especially here in Georgia. And I love the idea of kind of taking, because everyone can't get to Atlanta a lot of times, right, for responsibilities, jobs, or what have you. So kind of taking the summit experience up to, different markets. I think it's a really neat experiment. I'm looking forward to being there on March 14th. I think we're taking several folks to this year's summit. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and so we held it in Carter. We're holding it in Cartersville, strategically, mm-hmm. because it's not in Atlanta, but it's also not that far of a distance. Yeah. So, the Clarence Brown Center in Cartersville, it's not far off the interstate. It's a good, reasonable drive to get down from further north. So if you're up in the further northwest part of the state, you can get down there fairly easily. If you're in Atlanta or in other parts of the state and want to come up, you can still access it pretty easily. So it's a little bit of an acknowledgement that we don't want to lose potential attendees from the Atlanta region because we do know that's there are a lot of people there. There's a lot of economic activity. So it's definitely something that we think people would want to see. But it gives us a chance to get out a little bit further. Again, as you pointed out, there may be people who making the trip all the way down to Atlanta or all the way up may not work for them. Mm. Having it on one day versus over a 2 or 3 day period, as we've done in the past, also makes it a little bit of an easier time commitment on people. Everybody's got busy lives. We're all busy right now.
Chasing kids, chasing business.
Chasing kids, chasing business, with the economy moving along as it will. We know that a lot of people in supply chain are very busy every day, and so we want to be respectful of their time as well. And so having it over the course of a smaller, more compacted time frame will allow people to hopefully fit that in, whereas they may not have been able to do that in the past because of the time commitment as well.
Absolutely. So let's dive into the actual programming at the summit this year. Hang on a sec. I'm getting ahead of myself here, Matt. Because before we talk about programming, we want to talk about the theme for the 2019 Georgia Logistics Summit. So what is the central topic this year?
So we're highlighting the Appalachian Regional Port, which is the Georgia port's first inland port that they opened. It opened in Maury County, Chatsworth, back in August of last year. So it's fairly new. It's part of a new Network Georgia strategy that the Georgia Ports has embarked on. They're making a major investment both in inland ports and in rail transport in general. And so it's a big deal for the state. It's a big deal for Northwest Georgia for the location. And we couldn't think of a better topic to have if we're gonna move to a different location and try to focus in on something than focusing on what that Appalachian Regional Port and the Network Georgia strategy means, both for the region and for the state, what it is, what it does, and again, how that is part of what makes Georgia such a great place for supply chain when we talk about our infrastructure assets and the things that we have to offer businesses.
Well, if you're a shipper and if you work in the inland supply chain, you get it, and there's been a lot of excitement. I was just having lunch yesterday with one of our freight forwarders in our community, and we were talking about the inland ports and the summit and how this is a really a neat story and a great addition to the infrastructure. Talk about the next step in this, Hall County, right?
Right. So, again, as I said, the Appalachian Regional Port is the first of what the ports have as a Network Georgia strategy. So they recently made an announcement for their second inland port, which will be in Hall County in the Gainesville area. So they're serving Northwest Georgia, and beyond through the Appalachian Regional Port, and then serving that Northeast Georgia corridor with a new port that'll open in, I think, 2020 or 2021 for that area. So, again, as we talk about, you know, why this is a timely topic, you know, I think people who are in the Hall County area in Northeast Georgia, this is coming for them very soon. So I think that, you know, we're hoping that this topic and this discussion will be something that they would find a lot of value in as well, as they prepare to see how this might help their business as they're looking towards the future.
Yeah, and that's really neat. In doing some prep for today's show, I was looking at inland ports across the country and referencing some of the what I shared on the front end. And Greenville, South Carolina, has seen dramatic growth from its inland port. And so I'm really curious to see how the Gainesville port is going to add to that synergy and continue to serve the upstate, continue to serve, you know, the southeastern regional. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be creating all types of new business opportunities for, you know, North Georgia, but beyond.
Oh, absolutely. And Northeast Georgia already has a very strong distribution network there in that area, both from poultry and agriculture, but also their major distribution centers along that corridor. So there's already a good bit of business there that will be able to take advantage of that right away. And then looking at it as a catalyst for growth in the future, it's only going to continue to be a stronger need for more movement in and out of the ports. And so being able to have that opportunity all the way in North Georgia to save travel all the way down to the ports and back via truck is that's going to make it just that much more competitive for companies throughout Georgia.
Absolutely. Huge opportunity. And speaking of Hall County, poultry capital of the world, I believe, right? And a big export for the state.
Absolutely, absolutely. And no one's taken that away from us. From the poultry capital of the world is not going away.
You hear that, Chicago? You're not taking our chickens. That was great. So let's...
By the way, you asked. So Malcolm just handed me a piece of paper. Mm. Apparently, the new data from the FAA shows that O'Hare had 903,747 flights coming and going in 2018, and Atlanta had 895,502.
Mm.
So just whatever that is.
Yep.
Golly,
expert research.
Thank you, Malcolm.
That's
he
right.
He is fast.
Real quick. So we've kind of touched on, you know, how we see the inland ports, how important of a development this is for economic development and the supply chain field and Georgia and regional business. So now I want to dive more into summit programming because one of the key panel sessions is going to talk about the Appalachian Regional Port and its impact. But before we talk about that, this Inland Port Virtual Tour, tell us what that is and how that's going to be factoring into the summit.
Well, so what we're doing with this, because we're in Cartersville, you know, we aren't able to offer an actual tour of the port just because of timing and distance and things like that. But we wanted to try and get the next best thing. And so Wesley Barrel, who is the manager of the Inland Port, great guy, is doing a great job up there leading that really startup, you know, if you will, for the ports, is going to spend some time talking with folks about what it is, what it does, and then using between drone footage and video and things to actually show how it is in operation and what different aspects of it are. So to give a really good flavor for, you know, what that looks like, how it operates, so that shippers in the room or 3PLs or anybody, motor carriers, people that may end up using that or wanting to, can really have an understanding of how it operates and what it means for their business. Mm. So it should be a pretty good experience. Next best thing to actually being there is getting to see it in the way that they'll show it. So it's going to be a good time.
Well, yeah, the ports have so many moving pieces. When we were down in Savannah for an APEX regional meeting a year or so ago, we were able to tour some of the terminals down there in Savannah as part of the ports. And there's so many moving pieces. There's so much activity and the sheer scope, right? So it's not easy to get out there and conduct tour, especially for a couple hundred folks or how many people are going to be at the summit. So next best thing, creating that visual to really help folks that, that haven't been able to tour port. I think this is going to be a really neat component of the summit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're pretty excited about it. I know Wesley's excited to share what they're doing up there and the ports are. So it's going to be, I think there's a lot of people that even may have heard, you know, Inland Port, even Appalachian Regional Port, but still don't exactly understand what that means or what it looks like and how it works. So I think that's going to be a good learning experience for people.
Yep. Were you going to add something?
No, sir. I'm just ready for my virtual tour.
Okay. So speaking of Savannah, we ought to give a shout out to Bill Stankiewicz. He's the one that lined up that port tour for us. He's
Notre
so
Dame
active.
Fan.
That's right. He's very active down there. In fact, we're going to be down there broadcasting live on the 1st of March so with Bill. So looking forward to that. So back to the 2019 Georgia Logistics Summit. Let's talk about that panel session that we alluded to a few minutes ago. Who are some of the players on the panel, and what are they going to be talking about, Matt?
Yeah, so the way that the summit's going to operate this year, we're going to have that virtual tour, and there will be a lunchtime, and there's a networking time and things built in. But we did want to bring together a panel of folks that represent different aspects of the Inland Port strategy and how it works for Georgia, and to be able to talk a little bit about their experiences, how it impacts them, and then at a higher level, how that can impact other people that are looking to do business. So our panel, we're going to have Craig Camuso, who's with CSX. CSX is the rail provider for there. So it's going to definitely be good to hear from him and to understand how the rail component works for that port. And then just understanding that piece in general. So we also are going to have Luke Collins, who is from Tranco, and they're a 3PL that serves the port. So they'll be able to provide good insight into how that they're operating there and help other companies and motor carriers who may be wanting to look to use it to learn from that experience as well. Mm-hmm. We do have a shipper, Carl Werner, he's the vice president of logistics for Fornazor. Mm-hmm. They are they ship agricultural feed components that they export, and so
going straight to Hall County.
That's right
there.
So we got that tie in there.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but they are a current shipper using the ports, and so having them share their experience, talk about how it's impacting their business, and kind of what they see for the future and how it fits in is going to be. I think it's going to be a critical part as well. We're also because one thing we haven't touched on yet, but part of what the ports. Strategy for having the Inland Port. It's not just to provide additional options for shippers and to bring that gate in there, but by having a new point where you can truck in cargo and move it by rail to and from, it is a way to address what everybody knows is that workforce challenge, particularly with drivers and trying to find opportunities to create an experience for drivers. There's so many that aren't staying or aren't getting into the field because of the hours and the challenges that go with that. So this is hopefully an opportunity to address some of that by having a way that you can use your port, do your turnarounds there, as opposed to having to go all the way down to and from Savannah. And so hopefully making an opportunity there. So so there's a workforce and an educational component that is going to be beneficial to Northwest Georgia and hopefully the state in looking at that. Stephanie Searcy, who's the Vice President of Economic Development with Georgia Northwestern Technical College, is going to speak a little bit to that, going to talk kind of at a broad level as well about the educational components that are going on there and workforce and how this new port and this port concept is something that can benefit our state's workforce as well. And so we got one more speaker, one more panelist as well, Stacy Watson, who is the general manager for economic development, is also going to be for the ports, is also going to be on there as well because this is going to be it's such an economic engine up there for Northwest Georgia with that ability to attract new development, new warehousing, new manufacturing opportunities there. And so to talk a little bit about and to be able to share a little bit about what they're seeing. Up there as far as strategy goes, and then also as you think longer term about the additional ports coming online, what we can, you know, hopefully expect to see in terms of additional growth and opportunities in those parts of the state. So it's good panel, good group of folks. There's going to be, you know, plenty of time for interaction among them. There's also going to be a great opportunity for the audience to ask questions as well. We're definitely reserving some time for that. So I think there's going to be, I don't know that we could ask for a much better group of folks to get up there and talk about what's going on at the state. So so we're pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're saying, Matt, the front end of our conversation that we do have to weave in every 30 seconds the number one state to do business in 6 years in a row. But along the same lines, you know, workforce is part of every conversation. So I like how y'all have added that as a component of that panel session, because as we all know, you can have the best infrastructure, the best processes, the best equipment, you name it, all the bots in the world. But if you don't have the people to drive it, make decisions, and lead it, lead supply chain, then we're not moving anything.
Absolutely. No, and we can't walk into a meeting or to a room anywhere where people aren't, you know, the first thing that they're bringing up is workforce. And
right.
It's challenges and it's opportunities as well. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the great stories of the Appalachian Regional Port is they hired everybody there locally. So everybody that works at that port now is from that area. And so they're part of the state team. They're part of the GPA port team. But they're local folks that live in that community. And they and so it's already showing a benefit there. And and that continued growth and continued attraction of new business around that area will only make that better. So there's challenges, of course, but I never like to leave it on a negative for when it comes to work, because we do have some great opportunities. We have great people doing good work, and there's good opportunities out there.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's one of the advantages here in Georgia, that access to talent. I mean, between our technical colleges, which I know Stephanie Searcy is part of, right, to our institutions, you know, like Georgia Tech and UGA and Clayton State and
Kennesaw
State. That's right. We have just such a talent engine, just producing talent for the end-to-end supply chain industry, which is a great advantage of business here, because you have to have the talent. We have a war for talent going on. You got to find it one way, shape, or another. I was going to ask you, so I'm looking at the agenda, Matt, just to, for our audience. 10:30 a.m. to about what time are we concluding on March 14th? Is it about 2:30 or so?
So the whole event is scheduled from 10:30 to 2.
Okay.
And so it'll start with networking time, an opportunity for folks to get together and network and over coffee and get to share a little informal time. And then we'll move into the programming part that'll conclude around 2. So it's a more compact day. Folks that have been to the summit in the past that are used to you know, day and a half or, you know, overnight with an evening networking event. And we are changing that format up a little bit this year. I think that people will get in, get some good value for their time, good opportunities to meet, talk with folks, learn some good things, and then continue on their day as well.
Absolutely. It bakes in some time to get up there and you know, not have to get up and leave the house at 4 a.m. like I do from Walton County each morning to beat traffic. So I like that 10:30 to 2 p.m. type of setup. One of the things we were talking about in the prep conversation is networking, and how more and more supply chain professionals, and for that matter, just in general business folks that are getting out to these trade shows, industry events, you name it, they're really, networking is becoming more of a priority. So is that what you're seeing in recent years from feedback? And how are y'all baking that into the summit experience?
Yeah, so I mean, networking is absolutely, you know, critical to any types of events that you're doing. If you get an opportunity to bring people together, you want to make sure they have the chance to make those business connections. Most of the good things that come out of the good stories start with, yeah, I met this guy at the Georgia Logistics Summit, and we started talking and, you know, shared business cards. And next thing you know, we had a connection that ended up being fruitful for both of us. So we do want to keep that part of our. And so as I mentioned, there is that networking time built into the beginning. And, you know, during lunch, there'll be, you know, time during the lunch period to share networking as well. So there'll be opportunities. It's not just all programming. straight through. But, you know, part of our strategy with moving this event up to Northwest Georgia and concentrating on there is that we're hopeful that this will create new networking opportunities for folks that may or may not have had a chance to meet each other. You know, over the 10 years of the summit, we had a lot of people that have come back, you know, over years, and it's been great for them to get back together or meet new people that come in. But, you know, we're hopeful that there'll be a lot of people that'll be at this summit that this will be their first time attending, and they may be people who do a lot of their business in Northwest Georgia or Northeast Georgia, and maybe they don't tend to participate in the larger events. And so we really do think that there's going to be some good opportunities to meet new folks and learn a little bit more about the new other types of businesses in different parts of the state. So that's part of the goal here. And so, you know, I would say to people who have been to the summit in the past that this is still a good opportunity to come and network. And we think it'll be with hopefully even new companies and new groups that may not have come in the past.
Yep, absolutely.
Will there be locally sourced beer at those networking events,
Matt? Well, and for those of you in our audience that may not have had the opportunity to tour the Anheuser-Busch brewery in Cartersville, right, which has been operating, I want to say, since 2007-ish. Does that sound right, y'all? Anyway, the cool thing, I think, more recently related to that brewery, and we're going to let Matt answer that question in a second, is how they shift gears to produce water from beer in times of natural disasters. Flooding and hurricanes, they shift over, and it's just amazing what they do to help, you know, help those in need. So, but Matt, locally sourced beer.
You're going macro, man. I'm talking micro.
So you're right. I mean, they're an incredible partner for Georgia and what they do, you know, in times of crisis with shifting their product line to water is just amazing. And it's been very helpful, you know, both in Georgia and beyond. But I don't know that we're going to get any locally sourced beverages through there. Maybe you'll have to show
some,
up to
I'll
see.
I'll make some calls for you, man. Guys,
just see what ends up in the swag bag before people leave. But,
guys at Sweetwater, some of the guys in Decatur. I mean, it's all over the place, man. The beer supply chain is alive and well here in the supply chain city.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So some of the partners this year, and we're kind of talking about Anheuser-Busch because they're a big player in right there in Cartersville in the region, but specifically for the summit, for the event on March 14th, talk about some of the partners that the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics team is partnering with.
Well, so we've, you know, when we decided on Northwest Georgia, you know, we wanted to make sure we got in with the local folks in that part of the state, whether it's from a chamber standpoint, education standpoint, and business standpoint, in order to really understand their area, if the types of topics we wanted to cover made sense, if there was something they wanted to see or not see. So there's been a group of folks that kind of represent that broader area that have been very very instrumental and very helpful. And also, you know, we have a sponsorship opportunities. You can go to our website when you register for the summit if you hadn't and seen the list of our sponsors currently where they are. But it's been a very good conversation so far with folks as we've talked about trying to do something a little bit different, trying to do something that focuses there. And so we feel very welcomed. Folks up there have been very welcoming and are very excited about the opportunities.
Yep, definitely. I'm tempted not to share this, but Malcolm just corrected me. Anheuser-Busch has been making products there in Cartersville since 1993. The site is 1,700 acres. They make several dozen brands beyond just Budweiser, Bud Light, Bud Ice, but a lot of the products. And they ship approximately 250 trucks per day. So I stand corrected. No slight to Anheuser-Busch. We're big fans of what they do and all the jobs they offer.
It's really because of all the Anheuser-Busch products that you've consumed that made you lose that 10 years in the timeline there.
Maybe
right?
So. So first you're sharing secrets on Star Trek. Now we're talking about my consumption of adult beverages. But nevertheless, we're big fans of what they do and the jobs they offer here in Georgia. So, Matt, we can't finish a conversation without telling our audience how to get plugged into the summit, you know, how to register. I believe sponsorship opportunities are still open. Maybe even volunteer opportunities, but talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so so you can go to our we have a website set up. It's summit.georgialogistics.com, and it'll have a full list of the speakers. It has all of the agenda, location times, all of those things. It lists our current sponsors, and it lets you know about sponsorship opportunities as well. And you can sign up, you know, through that site and get everything you need.
Absolutely. And that's GALogisticsSummit.com. Definitely want to encourage our audience to register. It'll be a great event. It's always a great event, 11 years in, and looking forward to revisiting beautiful Cartersville, Georgia, as part of this year's Georgia Logistics Summit. So thank you so much, Matt Markham, Director of the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics, for joining us here today, along with David Knuckles, who is part of the Georgia Centers of Innovation team as well. Thanks for all y'all do. And
yes,
looking
sir.
Forward to March 14th for another great edition of the
Fantastic.
Georgia Logistics Summit.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to come on here and talk with you guys. It's always good. And we appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you guys in March. And hopefully all of your listeners will be there March 14th.
Yeah. That's right. That's what we hope.
Absolutely. And you know, disclaimer, Supply Now Radio is a proud sponsor of this year's summit. Apex Atlanta is a longtime supporter. They're one of our sponsors, and they're a longtime supporter of the summit. We encourage all of our members to go out and not only check out the agenda, but register. Join us. It's going to be a great day of thought leadership in supply chain and logistics, as well as great networking, as Matt Markham shared earlier. So, Will, we're going to kind of wrap up today's conversation on some upcoming events. I've got a list of 27 items I'm going to walk through. But
you go. I think the ones that I've, you know, you we're touching on, obviously we have our Apex leadership meeting tomorrow that we're all looking forward to. Mm. I know our cohort Ben has another Supply Chain Leadership Council meeting coming up as well. You probably have the date for that, not to put you on the spot. If not, I'm sure Malcolm can find it for us. But, yeah, man. You give them the rundown. I know that you are on it.
So Ben, you're referring to Ben Harris with the Metro Atlanta Chamber, who is also a regular here on Supply Chain Now Radio. He also co-hosts, along with Will and myself, the Supply Chain City series, which has been well received out in the marketplace. But we're going to lead off with, as Will mentioned, I appreciate his service to Apex Atlanta. We've got our executive advisory board meeting tomorrow, hosted by the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which recently moved their offices to the Georgia Chamber. I don't know if y'all were aware of that or not. Albert Sorto is also on that board, big supporter of the Atlanta chapter, is hosting us, so big thanks there. The Apex Atlanta Executive Roundtable Session, which is an event coming up for members and non-members, it's really targeting the executive levels, is we've got a roundtable session that's going to be focused on S&OP, which is very hot in supply chain, has been for a number of years. Graphic Packaging Headquarters is hosting that on February 19th. We're going to be led by an incredible facilitator, Corinne Bursa with Logility, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Friend of
one of my first bosses,
ours. That's
actually.
Right. Corinne's great. She also serves, and Logility is a sponsor of Apex Atlanta. We touched on this earlier, but we got to talk about it again. First annual Atlanta Supply Chain Awards taking place March 12th. Nominations closed yesterday. I want to say we had about 50 nominations for this first year event, which is successful. We were targeting 30 as you know, kind of the first year goal. So that's been much appreciated. Sponsorships registration for the March 12th awards luncheon, just a couple days before the summit, is open. Learn more at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. Big thanks to Matt Markham and the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics team for their support and sponsorship. They are presenting sponsors for the Supply Chain Innovation of the Year Awards.
Yeah, and to hear that there's 50 nominations across the categories, that's great. We're really excited about that.
Absolutely. And, peeling a layer back, the supply chain innovation category garnered the most nominations. So it was a very, really neat category that clearly resonated and had garnered a lot of the 50 nominations.
That doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, there's just so much going on. I think you guys have a great forum to highlight some of that. So that's going to be really good.
Absolutely.
It was sort of I think we just saw that there was an obvious need for it. I mean, it's part of why we've we do the Supply Chain City podcasts and have tried to highlight that as much as possible. I mean, there's so much going on, both from a vendor perspective and from a company perspective, that there's so many things that can be highlighted.
Absolutely. You know,
across so many different links in the chain, so to speak.
Hotbed of innovation in the metro Atlanta area right here in Georgia. So check out AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. We are pushing nominations. We've got a limited space for about 150 to 200 folks for the actual luncheon where the awards are going to be announced.
Hot ticket.
Hot ticket, and that registration is open there now. Moving on, the AME 2019 Atlanta Lean Summit is coming to the Supply Chain City in May. Supply Chain Now Radio is proud to serve as a media sponsor or media partner. Learn more at AME.org. And AME, for those that may not know, is the Association for Manufacturing Excellence, a very large national, international group. And they are bringing their Lean Summit here to Atlanta in May. And if you can't find what you're looking for on the larger AME.org website, you can always check out our website where we have a direct link, supplychainnowradio.com. Finally, on my end, at least, Will, is the I for Transport, EFT, 3PL, and Supply Chain Summit coming to Atlanta in June. Big-time event. Home run speakers from a variety of companies. Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, and that's just tip of the iceberg.
AGL.
That's right.
AGL Supply Chain.
Absolutely.
John Slanger, friend of the show.
Big friend of the show. Home run speakers from leading companies right here in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. June 2019. Learn more at events.eft.com, or you can find out that direct link on our website as well. Take you right to the event where you can review the agenda and register if you'd like, supplychainnowradio.com. And if you can't find what you're looking for, something we've talked about today, you know, one of the sites we've directed to, we are at your service. Shoot us a note to scott@supplychainnowradio.com, and we will make sure to direct you to the right location or resource. Will, before we kind of move into the conclusion, what did we miss? What's on?
Well, there's one thing I just wanted to, I know that we all like to, at least in this room, like to look at the supply chain angle with a lot of different things. And my wife and I watched the Fire Festival documentary.
Yes.
Have you seen it yet?
I have.
It's on Netflix. Okay, so
FYRE.
And you may have followed it last year in April when it happened. It was an entertaining thing to follow in the news and on social media, but there are some incredible supply chain lessons in watching this documentary and seeing, like, where, because, you know, you're watching it, and if you think in that way, or really just in any realistic, logical way, when they're talking about, like, they're 45 days out and they don't have, you know, they don't have wireless connections, they don't have water, they don't have plumbing, they just don't have any infrastructure, they have no way to get supplies in and out, they have no way to get people in and out. It's like I was pulling my hair out, just like, ask any, just come on.
I know. It is
a fascinating documentary, though, just for so many reasons. But that was the one I took from it. And I knew we were doing this today, and I had to bring that up.
You got to check it out.
Supply chain lesson in the Fire Festival documentary.
Huge. It's interesting how, you know, when you're in supply chain, you look at a lot of things through the prism of supply chain. And a lot of folks, they don't necessarily, I mean, I think we've gone a whole show without mentioning Amazon. And you know, I was talking with a couple of folks from Apex last week, how a lot of consumers don't necessarily connect Amazon and two-hour delivery or Amazon Now with supply chain performance and just having the sheer ability to get the right thing at the right price, competitively priced, to your door in 2 hours or less on some of those items.
And how they're losing money on it.
Well, well, that'll be episode 46 of Supply Chain Now Radio. But it's been talk about case studies and supply chain and supply chain performance. But check out Fire. It's a great documentary out now on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
FYRE. Big thanks to Matt Markham and David Knuckles with the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics for joining us here on episode 45 of Supply Chain Now Radio. Be sure to check out the 2019 Georgia Logistics Summit at galogisticssummit.com. And be sure to check out our other upcoming events we mentioned, some we didn't, replays of our interviews, other resources at our website, supplychainnowradio.com. You can check us out as well. All the replays on iTunes, iTunes and SoundCloud, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. So on behalf of Will Haraway, our co-host today, thanks for joining us, Will.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Malcolm, the research team, the whole Supply Chain Now Radio staff, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.